My observations indicated you get durable regulation that will stick around so long as the Baptists and the bootleggers have a common objective. I'm Bruce Yandel, quite active in lecturing, writing, associated with the Mercatus Center at George Mason University now, giving lectures, working with students, doing a lot of the same stuff I've done for many, many years in the public policy arena. The idea of the bootlegger Baptist theory developed in my mind about 1982. I was executive director of the Federal Trade Commission for a couple of years, and I was there in Washington at that time, attempting to explain regulations, the nature of regulations, and the kind of support that we see that brings regulation forward. And it occurred to me, well, the old story about bootleggers and Baptists seems to apply here. Both bootleggers and Baptists like to see the liquor stores closed on Sunday. The bootleggers like to buy their booze on Saturday, so they want the liquor stores open on Saturday, but they want them closed on Sunday. That gives them an open market to sell their product, usually at pretty high prices. The Baptists want the liquor stores closed on Sunday, just one day a week relief from demon rum. But when it comes to getting support to maintain those statutes in place, you will never see bootleggers with a placard in front of a state capitol saying, "Help support your local bootlegger." They don't have to lobby. The Baptists do it for them. And the Baptists make certain that the law is enforced. And so you have a Baptist-enforced cartel that provides wealth for the bootleggers, happiness for the Baptists. And when you have a coalition like that, my observations indicated you get durable regulation that will stick around so long as the Baptists and the bootleggers have a common objective. Most of those are showing up now in the area of climate change. For example, you have environmental organizations who are members of coalitions joined by some energy companies that are primarily nuclear in their sources of energy or natural gas. Both those bootleggers and Baptists want to get restrictions on carbon emissions. So clean energy producers are very visible, walking hand in hand with environmental organizations and one other group, brokerage firms, so that if we get cap and trade legislation, the brokerage firms will be the one who will be managing the sale of those new permits and certificates. So we do see visible coalitions now. It's also showing up across Europe with respect to what is called eco-labeling, requirements of that all products, consumer products, be labeled as to their environmental impact. And so the eco-labels are being pushed by environmental groups and also producers of products who will be able to keep out competitors and competitive entry from other firms. And some are modifying how they produce their product in order to get a good label that may be desirable from the environmentalist standpoint. It's very difficult for some other producers to meet those standards. So we see that going on. I guess the most recent one that is truly interesting in a way, because it sort of goes back to the origins of the bootlegger Baptist characters, is what we see with initiatives, the California initiative that will be coming up in November, for example, with respect to the legalization of the sale of marijuana. And the legislation, of course, includes in the title legalizing and taxing marijuana. And there we see, you know, fascinating things of, I guess not visibly named, but obvious as to who they are. Producers of pot in Humboldt County, California, who are putting out bumper stickers saying, "Keep pot illegal." Hoping that they will hold on to their bootlegger territory, just in the traditional sense of the word. And what is not as clear in this case, though, are the Baptists. Where are they? They're not making the kinds of noises that they might have in the past, and those would be those who might be in the pulpit saying, "We've got to keep this illegal and controlled." One of the things that we learn from the study of bootleggers and Baptists is that when the Baptists go away, the bootleggers lose their territory. It requires, that is, for the regulation, for the institution to stay in place, both parties have to be very active as they play. Some people believe, I don't know the data, but some people certainly believe that in Humboldt County and in other locations where pot is being grown illegally, that this stimulates the local economy just as any other economic activity would. And so you have local merchants, operators of grocery stores, people selling gasoline, people running restaurants saying, hey, this is part of our economy. And if this thing goes competitive, then they know the price fetched in the marketplace is going to decline. It's going to be harmful. And then some people say, heaven forbid, the large tobacco companies may be coming into this market, and the next thing you know, the local producers will just be no more. And an interesting story about the Humboldt County situation, there was a really neat statement by someone that said, if you really want to support farmers in America, make wheat illegal so that the price will go up. So you do have local communities who are saying, hey, this is part of our economy. California is running an estimated $20 billion deficit, as that's the current estimate. And by some counts, that those tax revenues could reach as much as $1.4 billion annually. Now, there are a lot of assumptions that go into that statement, but there always are. But the point is the same. You have a state hard-pressed to maintain the services that everyone wants, and some which people would call essential, and they're looking for revenue. And so this may be a time, this may be one of those watershed moments when lurking back in the background is economic necessity and maybe a fracturing of the bootlegger Baptist coalitions. So if I had to place a bet, I would bet that that initiative is going to pass.